Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talking Brick with Mayor John Ducey.
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday, February 4th. Thank you for tuning in. Our phone lines are open, so please call in with any questions. The phone number is 347-426-3543. And please call in. It obviously makes the show a lot more interesting when there's live calls because it puts me on the spot. And again, I might not know the answer, but I'll be honest and tell you I don't know the answer, and we might have to get back to you either tomorrow or the next couple days if it's a complex issue. But please call in so we get a chance to at least have a dialogue about whatever the issue may be. But if I know the answer, I'll let you know, or I'll let you know also, of course. I do not know everything, and I don't pretend to, and I won't try to make up an answer. I'll say we'll have to get back to you over the next couple of days. But please call in with any questions on any topic. It doesn't matter if it's something I'm talking about tonight or not. We want to make it an interesting show. We want to make it informative. We want to have as much information out to the public as possible. I do have Council President Paul Mumolo here with me tonight. So if anybody has specific questions for the Council President, he is here to answer those as well. And the two of us can, hopefully one or the other of us will know. Or again, we'll have to go to our experts here in Town Hall. We have such a great staff with all our great department heads and employees that we're definitely going to be able to get you the answer within a couple days. First off, I know it's a few months away, but I want to tell everybody about it. Brick Night at the Blue Claws. It's Saturday, April 25th. It starts off, there's going to be a Blue Claws game. The mayor is actually going to be throwing out a first pitch. I'm going to be throwing it out along with some other people from the Brick area. They do a couple different first pitches. And then there's obviously the Blue Claws game. There's going to be the Chamber of Commerce is going to have some different businesses from Brick all around the stadium. So stop by and visit those Brick businesses. And then after the Blue Claws game, there is a Brick Township High School versus Brick Memorial varsity game, which is great. And it's going to be a fun day, so get your tickets soon. And I believe we're trying to get the Little Leagues involved as well to have a game before the Blue Claws game. And I know there's some ticket requirements for the Little Leagues to be able to play. So if you're able to, if you can buy the tickets from the Little League teams, that'll help them outsell their allotment. And I know, Paul, you were at the Blue Claws game last year, and as well as the Brick versus Brick Memorial baseball game, and it was a good time, right?
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun. Nice day.
Yep. And it's good because it's in April, so at the beginning of the baseball season, and, gets you in the kind of the mood for the summer.
I particularly like when I think it was pork roll and egg and cheese ran around the field. That was good. I won, I think. I bet on the pork roll.
All right. Now, there's been some articles in the newspapers and online about property taxes in New Jersey. And I know one of them on the online, the newspaper actually version didn't speak about Brick, but there was some online headlines about Brick. But before I get to that, we do have our first caller of the night, which is Miriam from Princeton Commons.
Yep.
Miriam, you're on the air with Mayor John Ducey.
Thank you, yeah. And okay, I'm reading what you're saying because I have a CAPTCHA, which is Miriam from Princeton Commons. Miriam, you are on the air, yep, thank you. Now you want my question? Yep. But I would like house-to-house delivery to our homes by a mailman.
House-to-house delivery to your homes by a mailman. What? Princeton Commons, you have an association, correct?
Yeah, we are a senior citizen people. Yeah.
Okay, and what do you have to go to a clubhouse?
We have an association, correct? Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, I
don't
have
an association.
Where do you get your mail from?
We have a clubhouse.
Is that where you pick up your mail from?
No, we get it out front. Usually covered with stuff. As I said, I'm 89. I have to wait for somebody to clear my mailbox, and when I do, I have fallen twice out in the road, ruined my glasses one time, ended up in the hospital the other time. Why don't we're all old people.
I totally understand the issue. Actually, for Princeton Commons, because you have the association hires
okay.
contractors that actually they do all the shoveling.
I have to go to that. Yeah,
we don't shovel any of the sidewalks in town except for right here in front of
town hall. They do everything. Yeah, that's it. But
yep.
I was just wondering why. I mean, I know Lakewood is another country, is another community, but my daughter lives in Leisure Village, and they get house-to-house mailbox. You know, they have a mailman walking. I have to go to the clubhouse, I guess, right?
Yeah, they're the ones who they're responsible for shoveling and
snowboarding.
No.
Yes. I thank you very, very much. Okay. Nighty night.
Thank you for calling. Thank you. Good. Have a good night.
Bye bye.
Bye. Okay. I was going back to the property tax issue. Again, the newspaper had an article that didn't mention brick, but then there was some online saying that brick property taxes are on the rise. So I just wanted to take a little bit of opportunity to talk about property taxes. Rick's average property tax bill is just over $6,000, and this is actually the 409th highest in the state. There's 565 towns in the state, and we're actually way down at the bottom, 409th highest. So that's great. There's 408 towns in the state that have higher taxes than Brick. So I wanted to let everybody know that, because some of that information was not in any of these articles. It makes it sound like our taxes are so high. Our municipal tax rate, and that what that is, that's the portion that's controlled by the municipal government. That's 295th in the state. And you also have to keep in mind there's about 187 towns that have less than 5,000 people that live in it. We have about 85,000 people who live here. But there's 187 that have under 5,000 people, and they don't require the services that a town of our size does. There's many, many towns that don't offer garbage or recycling collection. In Brick here, we have police, we have recreation, we have public works, we have senior services, and we have all the statutory services, meaning the things that we're required to have. So it's not apples to apples and just comparing tax rates. It's what you get for your actual tax dollars. So when you look at surrounding towns, obviously most towns have police forces, of course. Not all. Some of them have state police that actually patrol. So keep in mind that their taxes are very low because they're not even paying for the police force. But our public works is great, as everybody knows from the snowstorms. Our senior services is outstanding. The amount of work that they do for our seniors is great. There's meals that are provided. They help them prepare their taxes. They help them prepare all their Medicare forms, mm-hmm. health insurance forms. They do everyday services for our seniors, and that's at the VFW on a daily day. You can get out there and eat lunch and have all this. There's senior activities, there's crafts, there's dances, there is exercise classes, all sorts of stuff. And then obviously our recreation program is second to none. There's no other town around here that has the amount of services that we do as far as our recreation. And I'll get back to the tax issue in a second because we have another caller. We have Julie from Lake Riviera on the line. Hello, Julie.
Hi there. How are you?
Great.
I'm very good, thank you. I called in thinking it was that you could listen through your phone. But I just wanted to say, so far, so good. I'm really liking everything you're doing, the changes that you're making. I'm seeing a difference, and I feel better about this town than I have in a number of years. So I just wanted to say thank you.
That is awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I'll let the most important people I have to let know is all of our employees here, the police force, the DPW. Our town hall workers, municipal court, tax assessors, tax collectors, everybody's really come together and made my first year, and I'm 13 months in now, and it's really been an enjoyable situation for me because I feel like everybody's working the hardest in order to serve the residents of our town the way everybody should be served, because you guys are our bosses.
I do feel like there's more cohesion. I do feel like people, it doesn't feel as divisive. So. Keep it up.
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling in, too. All right. And you do know how to listen. You can listen over the computer, right? Are you on,
I'm going
on
right
the website
now, yes.
Itself?
I read the article,
okay.
And I didn't finish it. As soon as there's another phone number, I thought I'd just call in. I should have read the whole thing.
No problem. Well,
right,
you got to
you.
Hear it while you're on hold. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Going back to the tax issue, our recreation department, that includes all of the various programs we put on, our sports programs, BMAC basketball, and our Challenger bowling leagues, all of our Challenger programs, but also what we have here in Brick, surrounding towns do not pay for, meaning our Summerfest. We have Summerfest, which is our concert series, our fireworks, our car show, our Bricktoberfest, our movies in the park, our Summerfest movie series, our movies at Civic Plaza, our dances for the seniors, all those things. When you look at some of the surrounding towns, some of them do have an ice cream festival and things like that, but the town doesn't pay for those. There's actually a business improvement district. Other towns have their chamber of commerce, or in another town, the fireman's fair, that's paid for by the fire department. All those programs here in Brick, those are all provided by your municipal government. So when you compare apples to apples, which is what we provide for our citizens compared to surrounding towns, we provide so much more for your tax dollars. And also, the township government, which is the council, and myself, we're only responsible for about 30% or so of your total property taxes. The majority of it is controlled by the school and the county and the fire district and some other little portions of the tax bill. So when you look at your tax bill, 30% goes to your local government, which is Brick Township, which is the mayor, the council, and Brick Township in general. 70% goes to all those other entities that myself and the council have no control over, and that includes the school and the county and library and fire districts and all those things. So a lot of people are not aware of that. Most people think I'm paying my municipal tax bill, so it's going to the tax collector in Brick, so we're responsible for any increases. That's definitely not the case. So if the county increases their portion of the bill, we still have to collect it, so we're looked upon as the bad guy, but we're not the one, we weren't the ones raising it. It's either the county, we have raised taxes, but it's just that we're not responsible for all increases. In the 3 years since myself and my colleagues were elected and we gained a majority on council, the tax rate for our portion of the tax bill has increased 2.9 cents. In that same time, the schools have increased 5.5 cents and the county has increased 3.5 cents for Brick residents. So about 75% of any increase in your property taxes since 2011 were due to increases in school and county tax levies. And we have absolutely no control over either one of those tax levies. Those are set. The school is done by the Board of Education, and the county is done by the freeholders. So the county, the council and mayor only have control over, since 2011, 75% of it was not the responsibility of the mayor and council. So I don't know if Paul, you have any comments on the tax issue.
I did have that question today from someone that read the article and was confused. I broke it down for them as well, and they didn't realize that, we don't control, like you said, 70% of taxes that come in.
Okay, and then we also, with regards to taxes, we are unfortunately are very reliant at this time upon federal and state aid. The reason why, because it's Hurricane Sandy, we had spent a little over $14 million for our cleanup efforts, and we went out to bond for that $14 million. And we're allowed to do a five-year bond for most of the $14 million, which means we have to pay it back over a five-year period, which isn't a lot of time to pay back $14 million. And this year we have a payment due of about $3.9 million. And what the state has done, the FEMA it comes from is a reimbursement. We're going to get reimbursed hopefully for 90% of that $14.1 million. And so far FEMA has obligated, meaning they're saying, yes, Brick, you're entitled to $11.8 million, but you're going to have to collect. You're going to have to get it from the state because all FEMA does is give it to the state. So they give it to the state OEM, and the state OEM out of that over $11 million, almost $12 million, which has been approved and obligated by FEMA, meaning that FEMA said when FEMA gives their totals of what they paid out, you know, I know it's a huge, you know, very large number. I think it, I read in the paper, was approaching $1 billion, but $12 million of that is actually what they're saying they get, you know, almost $12 million. They're saying they gave BRIC, but they didn't give it to BRIC. They gave it to the state OEM. And the state is not going as fast as we would like. They've only released $165,000 to us. So this particular year, we're relying upon the state because we have to pay $3.9 million because we borrowed that $14 million to clean up Sandy. And we have to pay $3.9 million, and they only gave us $165,000 to pay for it, which means us here in BRIC, we're responsible for that other $3.8 million. And, you know, again, it's something that's totally out of our hands. The state, you know, FEMA has obligated the money. The state just hasn't released it to us. So there's a lot of things that control us. And, you know, Paul, what do you want to say about that?
Another point that might be good for discussion is that a lot of people that don't live on the water don't realize that the impact of how many houses have been taken down and are off our tax rolls now until being rebuilt, which has an impact on everybody in the town. So that's something that gentleman that I talked to today, I had explained to him, and, you know, and he didn't realize that, you know, that affected us greatly and still affects us greatly. And, you know, we did cut a lot last year. You cut a lot. We're looking at cutting more, but we are losing that revenue, tax revenue, because those homes are either not there or hopefully getting rebuilt, which will help with the revenue once they do and put us in a positive outlook.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And the one thing that I was shocked at when I saw the numbers is we originally, right after the storm, had lost the number of rateables. But the actual loss of rateables for 2015, meaning this year, this coming year, is actually more than right after the storm, which is shocking to me. But the reason why is because more and more houses are being knocked down or being, you know, people are moving out of because they have to raise them. So they're not having the same tax value that they had in the past. We did get a question on Facebook from Stacy. Went to Woodbridge Rec Center recently. Wants to know if we're going to do something similar. That is an awesome thing. I went up to Woodbridge. Mayor McCormick, I met him, and Joanne Bergen, the business administrator, and myself went up to Woodbridge and met Mayor McCormick and his recreation director and his business administrator. And we actually toured that place, and it was great. And the one thing I was wondering is how the heck do you pay for this thing? And it's an interesting thing because actually that recreation center has 155 employees that are township employees that run that facility, which obviously that would be a big cost to the town having an extra 155 employees. A lot of those are part-timers, and excuse me. But it is 155 employees, but beyond paying for just the employees, the question was, how did you pay for the actual building, which is about an $11 million building or so. And it's an awesome facility. It has a pool, has a gym, has an ice hockey rink, has a running track above an arcade type party place. It has a miniature golf course in the back of it. It's one thing after another. You open one door, you go to the next, then upstairs there's meeting rooms where, there was a poker game going on. There was a billiards room. It's unbelievable. Great facility. And my question, obviously, at the end of the tour is, how the heck did you pay for this thing? And what they have in Woodbridge, which is something we don't have here in BRIC, is they have a lot more commercial than we do. But even more important than that, they have what's called a warehouse district. And it's one warehouse after another for different companies. They're actually there's going to be a new one coming there for Amazon. And what he did as a mayor, which is a nice move, but is that he actually did what's called a pilot. It's a payment in lieu of taxes. And the warehouses which were being built, he agreed that, you know, there was no impact on the school system, obviously, with a huge warehouse / factory. So instead of paying taxes, payment in lieu of taxes equal to the amount of taxes got paid directly to Woodbridge, and that's what they use to fund that entire building. They have a number of different warehouses / factories that was used to build, basically they built the facility and they pay off the bonds and the funding for the $11 million with all the taxes from those warehouses. So unfortunately, we don't have that situation here. We don't have any area of our town that we could even turn into like a warehouse or factory type of section. Not saying that I would want to do it if it did exist, but we definitely don't have the land to do that, and we don't have any of those new types of projects coming in. The new types of projects we do have coming in are mostly commercial, and they're not gonna, they wouldn't produce that tax, that type of tax revenue that we would need to fund like an $11 million project. So that's the story with the Woodbridge Rec Center. It's definitely it's a jewel. If anybody gets a chance to get up there and see it, they do let, they don't let out of town people use the gym. You have to have a membership. And it's I forget what they said it was, but it wasn't exactly inexpensive either to join it, and for the ice time and for everything still costs, even though it's a community rec center. Everything still has a charge to it, even if you're a resident. Whether you were playing mini golf, it was I think it was $8 a game, and it was you know, to use the pool was a certain amount of money, so it was different fees for everything. And they, like I said, they have 150 to 155 employees that only work there at the recreation center. So I wish we had that type of thing in order to be able to fund it. That would be it would be an awesome facility, but we just don't have that type of pilot program here in place and wouldn't be able to do it. Sean asked what's going on at the old Foodtown site. That's another Facebook question. And what's going on is finally something's going on. As everybody, I think I've said the quote a couple times, and, you know, the Hoover Dam, which is out in the Midwest close to Las Vegas, was built in less time than nothing happening at the Foodtown site. It was only 5 years to build that Hoover Dam. It's been 6 years with this redeveloper. It's actually been longer than that we own the property, and still nothing has been there at all. So what we did is in September, it did take me a while. We did try to work things out with the former redeveloper. Nothing really was happening. Deposits weren't even paid. All the different deadlines were never met. They were long ago since. And in September, we did terminate the contract, which became effective in December. And then what happened is the redeveloper, who did nothing since signing that contract, and decided to sue us because he wants to do something. And he wants to remain as the redeveloper. And so he sued us, and we countersued, saying, listen, we've been paying $465,000 a year for this piece of property. We paid $3.9 million to date. Nothing's there. There was no plan to put anything there. You've just been kind of like dragging us along for all this time. And, yeah, I put up with it. I put up with it for 9 months, and then I terminated the contract. I wasn't waiting 6 years. I wasn't waiting 7 years. I wasn't waiting 10 years since we bought the property. I'm doing something about it. I waited 9 months. You did nothing. It's terminated. We're moving on. We just changed the redevelopment agreement last night, thanks to the council. They voted on it. We removed all residential from that property. Residential will not be allowed to be built there. The former agreement, if it required a hotel, and then anything else could be built there. So if that redeveloper wanted to, he could have built a hotel, and he could have built 200 homes there. Which would have had a severe impact on the traffic, on our schools, on our infrastructure. And we definitely did not want to have that. So we did amend it. There's no longer going to be a residential allowed there. We do have another caller. It's Sharon. She's on the phone. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, Mayor Ducey. How are you today?
Okay. How are you doing?
Good. I've been a lifelong resident of Brick, born and raised. I own my property here. What I seem to be having problems with, I was in contact with the past administration and got nowhere with it. I have a house that is behind me that is foreclosed. It's been sitting there for over 5 years. It's now boarded up, a million notices on the front door. I look at this every morning through my windows. What is going on with the foreclosed homes?
Okay, I'm glad you asked me that. I'm glad it's foreclosed upon, because what that means is that a bank owns it now. And probably within the last 6 weeks, I would say, there was a state law that was passed. And about 6 weeks ago, the council did enter an ordinance, which banks are now required to register with the town any property that they have, that is that they own because they've foreclosed on it, that is sitting vacant or abandoned. And if they and they're responsible not only for obviously registering it, but for maintaining them. And if there's a maintenance issue, they are responsible for cleaning it up. If this property, or all the properties that were registered from the banks, our code enforcement officials go around and check those to make sure they are proper. They're in proper shape, meaning the grass is cut. There's no broken windows. There's not a pool in the backyard. All those dangerous types of things, gutters falling down. And if there is, then they obviously get fined and get brought to court. But more importantly, if that bank did not register, there is a $2,500 fine. So I need to know the street of where you're speaking about. If you know the address, that'd be even better.
I will. Yes, I will give you the street on that. That is my first question. My second is a neighbor that's on the other side of me. What do we have in Bricktown for neighbors maintaining their property? According to trees being trimmed back, I mean, I'm starting to absorb the cost with very nasty neighbors next to me. And nobody seems to, in the past administration, when I've had pulled them in, nobody seems to care how they keep their property. They don't blame me for complaining because they said they wouldn't want to live next to it either. But, I mean, how much am I supposed to absorb when I'm paying my taxes and keeping my property at a certain level, where somebody else next door to me can actually let theirs go, let their trees overgrow. You know, they're coming over my property lines. I'm having bug issues in the summer and spring because of it. Okay. And I'm absorbing a huge cost because of them.
Okay. Well, you need to call our code enforcement. Again, not on the air, but we'll put you on hold. And
right.
I'll have my person here take the two addresses down, the two addresses, the one with the abandoned house and then also the one with the property maintenance issue.
Okay.
Our code enforcement officials, they go out and they frequently write violations, but really we do it on a complaint basis. So there's not really a patrol going around, but it's more of people calling and saying, hey, there's an abandoned car here, hey, there's bushes here, there's gutters falling down, and then we go out and investigate, and then we write the violations. Now, I know with trees that are, and I guess you already know this because you say you're undergoing the expense. If trees are growing over, the branches are hanging down onto your property, you are definitely allowed to cut those because once they're on your property, they're your property. You can cut those down. But again, I guess you already know that because you said you underwent that expense.
Yeah, we have done that, and it's absorbing the cost, the time, and the aggravation of when we are doing it, of having somebody that's out there that's very belligerent towards us because we're doing it. And we've had several occasions where we've had to have local law enforcement come in because of it. But, it just seems to be an ongoing problem, and I just wanted to know if I can, with your administration, have somebody out here to try to take care of this.
Yes, we will put you on hold.
Beautiful.
And we'll take both of your, both of those addresses down.
Both of the addresses.
Or if you don't feel comfortable with that, then you can give a call tomorrow to Joanne Bergen, our business administrator, at 732-262-2933. But we'll put you on hold now, and thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
Mayor Ducey.
No, thank you. Because without residents letting us know that properties are in disrepair, we just don't have the manpower. We have a large town, 1,762 roads in our town, so there's no way we can know that what houses have overgrown bushes or long lawns or cars parked in their lawn. Those things you have to let us know. As soon as you let us know, we investigate them. And their investigations are usually done. I've had people that call me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 3 o'clock I have a response from code enforcement that they went out there based upon me letting them know. But we need to hear from the residents on it. We do have another caller. It's a Facebook question. Mike asked about how to get a street light on Elmwood Court. Basically, how to get a street light. The JCP&L... usually requires signatures from neighbors to make sure that everybody kind of wants it in the area. The reason why they do that, because a lot of times there'll be one particular resident who wants a street light, and there may be six that do not want a street light for whatever reason it may be. So JCP&L doesn't go ahead and just add a request. But usually if there's signatures from the surrounding neighbors, that there's a need for the street light. They then go out there, and we have Ken Schaefer from our engineering department. He goes out there. There's a certain formula that's followed, and he takes a look at it and determines yes or no. If it's a yes, then we have to still make the request to JCP&L because they have the ultimate control of it. And if it's a no, then it's, for whatever reason, there may be one that's too close. There may be directly in front of a house that said no or didn't sign the petition, things of that nature. So if you do have, if you want to, before going out to get signatures, maybe the best thing to do would be to call Ken Schaefer first and then maybe have that evaluation done first and then worry about getting the signatures later in case there is something with the mathematical formula that it wouldn't be possible to put a light there, for whatever reason it may be. So you might want to call him first and get that process started. If he says yes, looks like it, then we'll go ahead with the signatures, and then we'll get over to JCP&L. Another one on Facebook. It's from Robert. What is the status of BRIC's FEMA flood map appeal, specifically on the Barrier Island? I know we did an appeal. Now, I'm going to need help from our township engineer on this one, Alyssa Cummins, who's not with me here tonight. But I can tell you what I do know is that we did an appeal, and we probably got, I don't know if it was 70 or 80 properties removed from the V-zone. And that appeal, so we were very successful in that appeal. And again, there were 70 or 80 that were removed. I don't know about what your particular address is, whether or not you were one of those properties that were removed, but that appeal was done, and we got those results already. Beyond that, I'm going to have to check with Alyssa, and I'm not sure. It may be easier if you call in to Alyssa or to myself tomorrow. The reason why, because I don't know what your address is. I'm not sure of your specific question, if you're talking about the, exactly what the same one with the removal of the V-zone, or if you're talking about some other type of specific appeal. I know you say Barrier Island, but that doesn't narrow it down by any means. With the exception of there was 70 to 80 properties that were removed from the V zone out on the Barrier Island. Oh, 50. It's 50. See, I told you I wasn't sure. So I guess got the it was 50 properties were removed from the V zone out on the Barrier Island. So we were successful in removing those. So hopefully that's good news to you. Okay. I guess we're out of time. It's actually gone a little bit over time, which is fine. Thank you very much to all the callers, and thank you very much for Council President Paul Mumolo sitting in with me. Hopefully you enjoyed it tonight.
Yes, very enlightening. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. And thank you, everybody, for calling in. Thank you for writing the questions, and we'll have another one of these probably within the next couple weeks. We always post it on Facebook to let you know the date and time. And had a great time, and everybody drive safe. There's still some more snow and some cold weather coming, and it was great speaking with all of you, and thank you for listening to Talking Brick.
Good night.